Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean.
If you follow me on social media, you know I've been sharing significantly more about how I support my health and wellness naturally and with the gifts that the earth has provided to us. Whether that be by eating beef liver every day, getting my feet in the earth and eyes in the morning sunlight, or meditating with my crystals, you guys always show curiosity and sometimes even do it along with me. But if you've really been following along, you know that I've been using and loving Young Living's essential oils for years to not only make my house smell yummy, but to manage my anxiety and depression, lift my spirits, fix bug bites, ground, manifest, detox my house, balance my hormones, aid in my digestion, you name it. Whether you're seeking a moment of tranquility after a busy day, needing assistance with arthritis, inflammation, chronic headaches, or even just need some assistance with soothing your new baby when you're at a loss, Young Living's essential oils are your answer, and I'm so confident in saying that. These concentrated plant extracts have been used for centuries to promote well-being and balance in both body and mind, and Young Living's oils specifically go through strict third-party testing and must pass the highest quality standards before they're placed in your home. They are the only oils I trust to use in my home, on my body, and most importantly, around my baby. If you're new to essential oils, but thinking they might just be something that would support your health, I'd be so happy to make a wellness plan for you, chat with you through uses and benefits, and give you all of the extra perks that come with making a shift in your life. If you're a seasoned essential oil pro looking to switch to a high-quality brand with strong values and ethics, use the link in the show notes to shop around and use the code SHAREYL for an extra 10% off. Either way, slide into my DMs for extra perks, gifts, and money back before ordering. These oils will change your life, and I'm so grateful that I get to spend my days using the magic of plants to support my body in working optimally, as it was meant to. Click the link in my bio to explore all that Young Living has to offer and shoot me a DM if you want to get started. I would love nothing more than to be your new oily buddy. I love you. Now, back to the show. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we are going to be sitting down and talking with Hannah, and she is so knowledgeable, passionate, adorable, delightful. She just makes my whole body scrunch up with excitement. And I know as you listen to this conversation, your whole body is going to scrunch up with excitement too, from your toes to your fingers to your hair. Anyway, as I embarked on my journey to motherhood, heightened awareness of birth control, particularly the pill, became a focal point for me. Examining it more closely, a trend I believe many women are embracing today, I realized that my more than decade-long use of the pill lacked informed consent from me. Initially prescribed out of necessity for Accutane when I was on that in middle school, its continued usage for reasons like acne, period planning, and later contraception lacked my advocacy in trusting my health to doctors who didn't guide me on understanding my body or the effects that the pills would have on my body. It's not inherently bad, but the realization dawned that informed consent was missing. Hannah faced a similar predicament, questioning the birth control pill due to her own observed side effects in friends. Seeking an alternative to pharmaceuticals for contraception and conception, she discovered the Fertility Awareness Method. You'll hear us refer to it as FAM, which is distinct from the Rhythm Method, which is literally just guessing. FAM, an informed, biologically based approach with over a 98% effectiveness rate, became her choice. Our conversation delves into FAM, exploring Hannah's journey, her conscious conception of two children, and the liberation derived from aligning with her body, which you guys know I love. Hannah is such a delight. Again, you can tell in her voice how passionate she is and what an expert in this arena she is. She has two online courses available to you. Use the code Suzy15 at checkout. I will link everything about her in the show notes. Enjoy.
What were you doing in the Netherlands?
We just wanted to go on an adventure, live abroad. And so, yeah, we just, like, my husband applied to jobs there.
You and your husband are so cool. you just told me, we just wanted to live abroad. So yeah. We did.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Literally.
So you both were working remote at that time. Were you doing fertility work then?
I launched it when I was there, like the first year I was there. So I filmed all my courses and stuff here and then left and then like finished up editing and like launching it when I was there.
So a lot of your clients, I assume, were there.
Yeah.
When you launched it. Mm-hmm. The birth world is completely different over there.
Yes.
So I had my son there. You like dabble in the birth part.
I'm a labor and postpartum doula as well. I'm in the birth world as well.
That's totally, I think it's so beautiful. I don't know how much Lindsay told you about me, but I was laboring.
Listen to your story.
How did you know?
You have it on your podcast, right?
You listen to my podcast?
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Totally. Yeah.
Can you tell me about what you do? Because Fertility Awareness Method is something that I need you to educate me on. Throw it all on me from the beginning.
I had no idea where you were at with it all. I was like, I feel like Suzy would be down to talk about it.
Oh, I'm down to talk about it.
Yeah. So I got into this 12 years ago. So I was only 21 and I was like, had experience on the pill when I was 18, just for a few months for acne, as so many people like just get thrown on it for all sorts of different things. And then I was like, did not like it. It was like, oh, I'm not sexually active. So got off of it. And then when I was needing it for birth control, I was just like, I don't want to go on it again. So I looked into different methods and a friend of a friend told me about this and I was like, no thanks. Isn't that what people used before the pill was invented? But I looked into it and I like couldn't deny the science of it. I was like, no, like this is legit. Like actually I should do this. But I just like literally read like a PDF and a blog post. Like I had like no real resources. But the science like stands alone. I was just like, okay, like I'm going to do this. And so I started using it for birth control. It's called the Fertility Awareness Method. I call it FAM for short. And I've used it for birth control for 11 years now with two planned pregnancies.
So what is it?
Yeah. So it's charting your basal body temperature and your cervical fluid.
Ooh.
Those two magic things will tell you exactly when you're fertile. And then if you are trying to avoid pregnancy, you can use condoms during that time or abstain or do other things. And if you're trying to get pregnant, you can better time intercourse to help you get pregnant.
Yeah, you do the damn thing twice a day, every day.
Well, that's the beauty of it, too, is like, you know exactly when you're ovulating and it's not a guess. Like, it's literally like, you know. So it's not just like, oh, like when you're trying to get pregnant, like eventually, like for some people, it's just like, oh, I gotta keep having sex. As fun as it is, you know, it's just like you don't want it to get to that point sometimes. Right. Like where, so it's like nice to know exactly your days. And then when you're not fertile, you're like, okay, like now it's not so much pressure.
Yeah, we don't have to pressure ourselves. And as yeah. I feel like you and I are probably the same in that I personally don't want a surprise pregnancy. Mm-hmm. A lot of mm-hmm. my friends are like they we call it pulling the goalie. Have you heard this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not pulling the goalie.
Oh, no, they pulled the goalie, so the net's open. Okay. And so-
I haven't heard that, man. Oh, where have I been? That's great.
Stop pulling the goalie, and it's like, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm like, no. So no. With I had a miscarriage, and then I had my now son, mm-hmm. and they were both conscious conceptions. Mm-hmm. I had done a lot more research than the average person. Like I had also been on birth control. I had been on birth control for probably 10 to 12 years. I got off, I waited 6 months. I was tracking my ovulation with the ovulation sticks. I was mm-hmm. learning about my cervical mucus. I started my cycle sunk up with the moon.
Nice.
I was doing the whole thing and got pregnant. So specifically to the point where I was like, you know what? I know you might not get this, but I'm a Virgo. I'm very mm-hmm. type A. I'm very perfectionist. I would love to have a Pisces baby, water, dreamer, artist. I feel like that child would teach me a lot. So I planned to have a Pisces baby. Sure enough, got pregnant. Due date was 2/22/22. How magical mm-hmm. would that have been? Unfortunately, lost the baby. And then, you know, recovery, emotional, mental, physical.
Yeah.
And then when I finally was ready to get pregnant again, I was like, oh, based on my ovulation, if we have sex in these next few days, my due date is going to be on my birthday. And how beautiful of a story would that be that my rainbow baby comes on my birthday? We have to do it for the story. And sure enough, we did it. We did. And it took a lot. And it took a lot of, you know, preparing my body,
yeah.
and knowing when I was ovulating and what to do. But I need to be prepared. I need to know when it's coming. So the power, it sounds like you are really allowing women, one, to take power back over mm-hmm. their bodies and their conception, yeah. if that's what they choose.
Yep.
And through checking your basal body temperature and analyzing your cervical mucus, that's a beautiful relationship to begin to build with your body.
Oh, yeah.
Your body's sending you signals through that.
I always tell women, like, you will never regret learning this. Even if a different season of life, you choose to go on a different birth control, like this comes in and out of your life, you will never regret learning how your body actually works and getting more in tune with your body.
Why did you start doing this method? You wanted to get off of birth control because mm-hmm. you were on it when you were 18. You got off for acne. Yeah. You needed to get on it again, but you didn't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
So then why, what was it that made you want to start implementing this in your own life?
It was just like, it felt like my only option besides condoms forever. And I was just mm-hmm. like, if I was looking for a non-hormonal option,
right.
it was
right.
just like, it's condoms or... fam. So I was like, okay, let me learn this.
And then at what point did you want to start? No, we need to go
teaching?
Back.
Yeah.
No, we need to go back.
Mm.
Because did you start teaching or did you get pregnant first?
So teaching first.
Okay. So tell me why you wanted to start teaching it.
Yes. So I actually was working at a law firm at the time as a legal assistant. So doing something completely different. And I.
Let me take a moment to say, I am so proud of you. For leaving a job that is societally like very prestigious to do something mm-hmm. that you were passionate about, I'm sure that was very scary at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of just
really, really.
I was excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm not going to become a lawyer. I thought I might after college. Like, I did poli sci in college and I was like, never mind. And so I went back to school for nutrition, specialized in like women's hormone health, just kind of like naturally, because I was already interested in this from using it for birth control. I
yeah.
was like, oh, like once I swear, like it was like once people realized I've been using it successfully for quite a few years, then like all the friends came out like, oh, okay, now we believe you. Like, how do we do it? And just naturally like teaching yeah. them And then when we were, we lived abroad for 5 years. And so before we were planning on moving, I was like, okay, I need something that I can still do while living abroad, like for work. And I was like, I could teach this. Like, this is, I love teaching it. It's my favorite thing to talk about. I created a video course and that's how I teach it now.
Tell me about your first pregnancy.
So I've been using it for birth control for 7 years. And then I was like, yeah, and my husband and I had been married also for 7 years. Yeah. And together for like 12 years. So nice. It was just like, kind of just like, okay, like, I think we're ready. Like, and I was so thankful to have waited that long. I was, got married when I was 21, got married young. And because we've been together since we were 16.
Cute.
Yeah. And so it was just like, we knew, you know? Yeah. And, but then I just really didn't want to get pregnant in my 20s. So finally I was just like, okay, like I was 29. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And I was really thankful for FAM because it took me like three, you know, we call it trying to whatever. It's TW, trying to whatever. It's just like what you're saying. Some people do, like, they're not avoiding, they're not trying. They're just the goalie's out of
goalie.
Yeah, pulling the goalie. So it was like 3 months of that. And then I was like, this actually isn't fun. Like, I'm just a kind of a planner. Like, actually, I know how to do this. Like, let's just try this for reals. Because it was like, I feel like we would miss it. We were traveling or something. Like, I was like, no, like, I want to actually start trying. And then it took 3 months of actually trying. And I was so thankful for that knowledge. Because like, I did know a few cycles where I was just like, oh, like, I ovulated actually a few days early, so we totally missed it. Like, and it's just so nice to know that. You're just like, never mind. Like, then you don't have, you have realistic expectations for 2 weeks later when your period comes.
Yes. Yes. And it sounds like there's a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
From you guys.
Yeah. So then, yeah, we got pregnant with our first. And I kind of also, I really wanted a summer baby. So I was like, also kind of like you, like I had something in mind.
Being pregnant in the summer is not fun.
Yeah. We were living in the Netherlands at the time. So in the Netherlands, I was like, I don't want to like be newly postpartum in the dark of winter.
Just out of selfish curiosity, can you tell me about your birth experience there?
Yeah. So yeah, the Netherlands is known for their birth system. So it's a midwifery run system. Like everybody goes through a midwife unless you have reason to, like if you're high risk or something. And so once I was pregnant, yeah, it was just a wonderful pregnancy. Like I felt really great. A little sick in the first trimester, but like not too bad. And I chose my midwife, and it's really common also to do home birth in the Netherlands. And so I already know that that's what I wanted.
Natural and sacred.
The Dutch call it gezellig, which means cozy, basically. And like, so when you ask a woman, like, why are you choosing home birth? It's just like, it's because it's gezellig. Like, why wouldn't I? Yeah.
I love that attitude. It's so different from here because people are like, you're having a home birth, aren't you scared? Can you talk to me about birth control?
Yes.
Are you well versed in this? Because only I got off of birth control to get pregnant and then stayed off of birth control because I knew I was going to try again soon. And now that then I gave birth and I had been learning so much about birth control during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then now I had always thought my whole life, like, yeah, I'll get back on birth control, like many of us are conditioned to believe, and go back off when I'm ready to have another baby. But now I'm learning all this stuff and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about that anymore. So can you tell me about everything you know?
Yeah. There's so many different types, so I can kind of get into the different, like the most popular ones, because I can't just like say a blanket statement of birth control is this way or that. And but one thing, like you were saying, like is just my biggest thing is informed consent, like making sure, like you're saying, like you finally started researching it more about in pregnancy, like making sure it's actually like your choice and what you want and not suffering with side effects. So that's my biggest thing when women are like, well, I got this IUD put in and I've been having a terrible time, but like my doctor says, just like push through, like try for like 6 months or a year. She's like, well, I had it in for a year and it was just awful. I was like, why did you wait a year? You know, like we shouldn't have to suffer for our birth control. So that's my biggest thing. It's like, if you are having a positive experience with the one you're on, awesome. Like if you're happy with it, great. As long as you know how it works, how it might be affecting other things in your body. So I had a friend with the copper IUD, which is the non-hormonal IUD, and she kept having recurrent yeast infections. And her doctor was like, nah, it's not from the IUD. Sure enough, she gets it taken out. Yeast infections stop. So also just being aware of like our whole body's connected. Like even if you're having symptoms that aren't from the birth control, it might be. So some of the most popular ones are just the estrogen progesterone pill, like the combo pill. That's what most people are put on. That's still the most popular. And how it works is it actually suppresses your estrogen and progesterone. And so it suppresses ovulation and it administers synthetic versions of those hormones in a different, more kind of flat level. And that's how I would describe how I felt. I was on the combo pill. I wasn't depressed on it, which is the number one side effect I hear from my clients and from women, is depression and low sex drive. Those are the two biggest complaints I hear. I wouldn't say I felt depressed. I just felt a little suppressed. And so when you learn about the hormones or what it's actually doing to your hormones, that's what it's doing. I think first I have to explain a little bit more about how our hormones work naturally. And estrogen rises at the first half of your cycle, like, and it triggers ovulation, and then it lowers and progesterone rises in the second half of your cycle. There's other hormones going on, but I'm just going to simplify it. And estrogen is this like really feel good, sexy, creative, connection, high energy hormone. And that's what triggers ovulation. So if you're suppressing that, lowering that, you're not getting all those juicy vibes. And then progesterone rises, and that's like a more cozy, reduces anxiety, helps you sleep. It's a really vital, cozy hormone. And that's also can be lowered as well for certain types of birth controls. And so that's just like good to know that that's how our body is actually like supposed to work. So when you mess with that, it you will feel it. So our body, our emotions, our physical feelings are so connected to our hormones and our cycle. There's a great term called cycle syncing. That's kind of like aligning your life with the different hormones that are happening in your cycle. You can't really do that when you're on the pill or on any type of hormonal birth control. So the other more popular hormonal birth controls, then you mentioned like you started getting into researching it postpartum or like pregnant and like planning, how am I going to space my kids? The most popular birth control that's women are put on at the 6 week mark postpartum is a progestin only pill. So it's only progesterone, no estrogen. And the reason for that is it's not supposed to affect your milk supply as much if you're breastfeeding. But it's just interesting how many women are put on birth control 6 weeks postpartum, any kind, even like really the most popular, get into IUDs as well. It's such a vulnerable, crucial, confusing time postpartum. And even if it's the same birth control you were on pre-pregnancy, your body could react to it differently. And so it's just a really hard time to introduce other hormones. That's I'm actually working on a postpartum like / breastfeeding charting course for have an option, because I was able to use FAM to face my children 4 years because I was like, I needed that time. It was COVID. We moved internationally back home, and then we moved again to a new town. And then I was working on my business. I was like, I needed time. And so we were talking about earlier, just like the people who are like, whoopsie, got pregnant. Like, I was like, I just can't do that. And so FAM was a great option for spacing my kids. And a lot of people discount it, I think, because of breastfeeding. And they're like, well, how do you, if your cycle hasn't returned yet, it's still possible. Well, so yeah. Even without your cycle returned, there's guidelines and practices for if your cycle hasn't returned yet. And then it gets really easy once your cycle returns postpartum as well. So the other two most popular are the IUDs. So there's different types of IUDs, but the two main ones I'll differentiate are, like I said, the copper one. That's a non-hormonal option that a lot of people are like, oh, great. Like, I don't want to go on hormones. I don't use condoms and I don't want to use FAM or whatever. I just haven't found anybody who's been happy with theirs. Like, I literally have not talked to a single person. So it's a great idea in theory to have a non-hormonal IUD, but it just causes a lot of inflammation in the body. You get heavier periods. Mm-hmm. My friend's body rejected it and just pushed it out, like it's birthed it out. Another friend had it dislodge and go through her uterus into her intestines. Like, yeah. So, it's just like, if you're not happy with it, like, forget about it. You know, right. We don't have to suffer just because we're women. Yeah. And then the hormonal IUD is another option as well. Some of the hormonal IUDs, you actually still ovulate, but then an IUD, how it works is it also makes it like your uterus inhospitable to fertilizing or to implanting a fertilized egg. So it kind of like works in combo. Okay. And so with all of them, there's the everyday kind of side effects I'm talking about. Like, you don't have to live with like heavier periods or depression or low sex drive if you don't want to. And then there's the more serious side effects. There's the blood clots. That's the highest side effect that's most fatal. There's a great documentary out. Have you heard of it, called The Business of Birth Control?
No, just the business.
So you've same people. So Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein made The Business of Being Born, which is amazing for the birth world. It was already 15 years old. And now this Business of Birth Control just came out 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And it's great. But it follows a story of two families who lost their daughters from the NuvaRing. So that's another option, is the ring as well. So it's people say, oh, those are such fringe, like rare instances, but I hear about it all the time.
If they are rare instances and people aren't going around, you know, losing their lives or having these mm-hmm. horrific experiences, we're still manipulating, but we are man manipulating our body's design. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I'm sure, I'm not a science-y person. I used to be an English teacher, but if you're messing with the hormones of one part of your body, I'm sure there's a ripple effect throughout the entire body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, definitely. And
my follow-up question would be, I just came up with an arbitrary 6 months when I got off birth control. I figured there was going to be some type of detoxing period where my body was going to have to get used to its own hormones and recalibrate itself. So I waited 6 months and then I waited until I was ovulating on the full moon. And then I was like, it is time to conceive. So can you tell me, is there like a detoxing process for our bodies, and how can we support it if there are people listening who have been on birth control for a long time and might want to get off and might want to try getting pregnant or try an alternative form of birth control like FAM?
Yeah. So I think that's another like big picture when we're looking at birth control as a whole, is how long people have been on it. And so the story I hear the most is, I was put on it as a teenager and I've been on it since. Mm-hmm. And take some breaks to get pregnant. Best case scenario, you get pregnant. And that's best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Worst case is you're put on it for some type of symptom that your body was telling you, like something's wrong. It could have been heavy periods, horrible cramps, endometriosis, PCOS. Mm-hmm. We shut it down, which again, like, women shouldn't have to suffer even off or on birth control. So if you're suffering off birth control with these symptoms, like, that's, it's amazing that we have this medication mm-hmm. to help. But we still have to view it as a medication and not just this pill that all women take every day. And it can help relieve those symptoms. But if you're putting it's still a Band-Aid because you're not actually yeah. getting to the root cause of why you have those menstrual issues. Mm-hmm. And they're just like dormant until you get off of it. And then you're like, they might come back or they don't, but you don't know. And so not only are you kind of detoxing from the pill or the hormonal birth control, you're also depleted in minerals and vitamins too. So you don't get as many, you're oftentimes deficient in certain vitamins and minerals from birth control. So you have to like replenish that. And yeah, those symptoms that you're putting a Band-Aid on before could come back. And a lot of infertility, I feel like, comes from just not knowing you had these symptoms and your body was telling you something was off. And then you're just dormant for so many years until you're like, okay, I'm ready to get pregnant. And that's like, it might not happen right away.
Yeah. And then you realize all of these problems that your body was trying to tell you. And mm-hmm. then you start a whole other thing of, okay, well, now I have to address this before I yeah. can try to get pregnant when we could have been addressing this in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then there's so much heartbreak for yeah. these women who get off of birth control and are like, okay, I thought I was doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's all of this extra work that I have to do
yeah.
That I wasn't even aware of and wasn't told about mm-hmm. as an yeah. option to do. Again, going back to the informed consent.
Mm-hmm. And I think so oftentimes when people are trying to get pregnant as well, they just think that they just have to try all the time for a whole year as well. So that's my big thing. I'm like, if you are actually charting your fertility, your cervical fluid and basal body temperature and timing intercourse correctly, according to exactly when you're ovulating, not when you're guessing you're ovulating, not when the calendar says you're ovulating and when the app says you're ovulating, but when your fertility biomarkers are actually telling you you're ovulating. If you do that for like 3 or 4 months and you're not pregnant, go get your partner tested. Fertility is 50-50. Like, don't wait a year to start looking into things if you're serious about getting pregnant. It's just, again, like trying to prevent the heartbreak where we can, you know? There's so much that's out of our control with fertility, but there is so much we can do as well. And so get your partner tested if you've been charting your cycle with fam for like 3 to 4 months and not pregnant, and then start, if his looks all good, like get on some wait lists for some fertility clinics if that's the path you want to go down. Just don't wait a year. That's my biggest thing. Or your other option is to go work with a functional medicine doctor or a naturopath to help you get to the root cause of like what's actually going on, rather than, because what a fertility doctor is going to give you the options is just fertility drugs and IUI, IVF. So if you're open to that, you can go down that, or you can also go down an alternative route.
So here I really want to dive into like what FAM is. Can you walk mm-hmm. me through what yes. it is, taking my basal body temperature? Is that mm-hmm. daily cervical mucus, the egg whites?
Yeah. Yes.
You will pop it up.
So I will walk you through kind of like the four phases of the cycle. And so the first phase is menstruation. It can last. I like to picture around, sometimes it's like, I wish I could share my screen, you know, like a Zoom webinar on a podcast, but I'm just like, imagine the circle of your cycle. And I like to dispel the notion that our healthy cycle is like 28 days with ovulation on day 14. So just like throw that out the window. It's a nice, like, for teaching purposes, like to give an example. Some women have that. Most women don't. And that's A-OK. So a healthy cycle can be anywhere from like 25 to 35 days. And if you move in that range, that's fine too. It doesn't mean you're irregular. Irregular is when you're just like skipping ovulation, when you're just like 45 days, like your months between ovulation, like that's irregular. Moving from like a 28-day cycle to a 32-day cycle, from cycle to cycle, like that's A-okay. And so if you have menstruation for a few days, and then after menstruation, you start looking for cervical fluid. Cervical fluid's the key in when knowing exactly when your fertile phase begins. So you could have some dry days after menstruation, and dry, it's not really like dry. Our vagina isn't like, it's a still mucous membrane. Like it's going to kind of feel like, I said, like if you touch the inside of your cheek, like it's damp, you know, but there's nothing you can really move around your fingertips like cervical fluid. And then once you see the first sign of cervical fluid, that's when your fertile window opens. And that can look like, sometimes it's like kind of a progression from sticky or gummy to like creamy or like lotiony, and then to like egg white. And all of that's fertile. Egg white is the most fertile, like literally like when you crack an egg, like that type of egg white. It's clear, yeah. Stretchy, lubricative, but all of that's fertile. And so as soon as you see that, and so literally you're just like wiping with toilet paper, like looking in your underwear. Every time, I try to say like every time you go to the bathroom, like you just get in the habit. And so often people are like, I don't see that. And it's either you're just not looking, you're just like peeing and wiping and just carrying on. Or you've been on birth control for so long, you don't have this cervical fluid when you're on hormonal birth control most often. So, because that's helping, the cervical fluid helps the sperm survive. And birth control doesn't want the sperm to survive. So it kind of makes it more of a, the cervical fluid is actually balancing the pH of the vagina. So the vagina is really like acidic. Sperm will die within a few hours if there's no fertile cervical fluid, like neutralizing it. And it also nourishes the sperm to help them live 3 to 5 days to get to the egg when it's ovulated.
I didn't know that it was nourishing the sperm.
That's yeah. Yes. So yeah, that's how they survive for 3 to 5 days. That's like the max.
That whole window is mm-hmm. fertile. I can have sex and I can get pregnant, but that egg white is when I have the highest chance.
Yes, correct.
And that egg white, what, only usually only lasts for like two days? How long is that?
Yeah, it could be. It's different for everyone. Like I feel like I've had some cycles where it's like a day or two, and some cycles where it's like 4 or 5. So it's just, it can be different. But
it sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm making an mm-hmm. assumption about you. It sounds like you're somebody who doesn't like to say should when it comes to women's bodies. And I could be wrong, so I'm just prefacing this before I ask uh-huh. this question. But when you started talking about the menstrual cycle, we start with menstruation. How long should a healthy period last?
Yeah, that one's actually easy. Like I feel like a healthy period, it's okay actually if your period is short. Like I've had some people come to me like, is it okay that I only have like a period for 3 days and only one of those days is like medium? I'm like, that's actually fine. There's no indication that that's something's wrong, as long as you have like at least one day of medium to heavy. And then usually, yeah, so it can go anywhere from like 3 days to 7 days would be normal. Something to note if we're talking about menstruation is some people say, I got pregnant on my period. Like, how does that happen? And that happens when you have a really short cycle. Like if you often have like a 25-day cycle, then that cervical fluid can start like on those last few days of your period and mix in with period blood.
So you really don't know.
But once you like have been charting your cycle for a while, like I've never had a 25-day cycle. So I feel pretty confident like I can have sex up until the last day of my period. And then I start checking every day for cervical fluid. And if you don't have cervical fluid that day, then you can have unprotected sex. Okay. Yeah.
So then tell me about taking my temperature.
Yes. So then temperature is what tells you when your fertile phase ends. So cervical fluid tells you when it's begins and temperature tells you when it ends. And the reason why temperature tells you when it ends is because it's following that progesterone rise that happens after ovulation. So progesterone actually raises our body temperature, kind of like a hen sitting on an egg. Like, so that egg that was released, like our body like warms up just in case it was fertilized. But then if it wasn't, it dies and is reabsorbed in the body within like 24 hours. But our body still rises. And so when you take your temperature in the morning, you can take it all cycle long just to like get into the habit. But the key is that to take it during that fertile phase. That's called, kind of called shortcut charting, where I just take it like that every day I see cervical fluid until I see it rise. And it's like, we're talking like decimals, like tenth of a degree. And that's why you need a basal body thermometer. And or it's just called the basal thermometer to take your basal body temperature. And it's different from a fever thermometer, all because it's just more sensitive and to a tenth of a degree. It's still like $15 on Amazon or at the drugstore. So like, it's not expensive. It's just not your fever thermometer that takes your temperature in 10 seconds. It takes about at least a minute when you're sitting there in bed.
So you do it first thing in the morning before you pee.
Yes. Like, okay. Yes. And a lot of people really get hung up on that of like, well, I have such an irregular sleep pattern. Like I wake up, I don't have 3 hours of solid sleep. I still think FAM can work for your lifestyle. I think it's important to work with an instructor or take a course, work with an instructor to get the highest effectiveness rate if you're using it for birth control. But I just tell people just like when you wake up in the morning, like just get in the habit.
Yeah.
Just whenever that is, just first thing, have it next to your bed. And that's really the habit you create.
So you're only using it. So you're taking the lazy route. Sorry.
Right. The of just taking it first thing in the morning.
Well, no,
just like,
The people that I've spoken to, they do it all month long to identify when they start ovulating as well. Mm-hmm. And when they end.
Are
you doing it?
It doesn't tell you when you start. The temperature doesn't tell you. So those people probably have an app with an algorithm. The algorithm is telling them, not their body.
Oh, okay.
So there's the Daisy is popular, or Natural Cycles. Those are the two most popular like smart thermometer apps with an algorithm. Mm-hmm. And you take your temperature every day and you don't take cervical fluid. That's like a bonus thing. Like you don't have to chart your cervical fluid, even though cervical fluid, I say, is the most important one, because that's when your fertile phase begins. Like you really want to catch that. So those algorithms open your fertile window based on when you've ovulated in the past. So they're just like guessing. Like, I mean, it's an algorithm, so it's an educated guess. Okay. It's more than the rhythm method, which is just like literally a guess of like that app is like those algorithms aren't as like advanced, and you're just like being like, okay, I always ovulate day 19 of my cycle. You can't say that.
So feels stressed out.
Do you do that? Is that why?
Oh no. Oh.
Just yes, people who do that.
Yes.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. And so then they just put a buffer on either side of day 19.
Okay.
Of their cycle. But your ovulation can move. That's why we don't use the rhythm method. That's why the rhythm method has such a low effectiveness rate, whereas FAM has a 99.6% effectiveness rate, because you aren't guessing and you're actually going off what your body's telling you, and your body's not lying.
Right.
And so I will know if I ovulate late or early based off cervical fluid and temperature.
So can you walk me through the services you offer and what it's like when someone wants to work with you to conceive?
Yeah, to conceive. So it's kind of the same for either, whatever your goal is, to use it for birth control or to conceive, because I have two courses. And so one is to conceive, one's chart for birth control, and one's chart to conceive. And really the first module is like the science of it all, how your cycle works. And the second module is all about like literally how to chart, how to observe all the different types of cervical fluid, all the temperatures, what you're actually looking for, how to interpret yourself. And then the third module is actually like holistic hormonal health, like things that you can do to help your menstrual cycle, help your fertility, rather than using a band-aid of birth control. And so it's about 3 and a half hours of content. And then after you go through the modules, then you can schedule a one-on-one with me. I ask that you like practice charting before our one-on-one so that we have like some charts to look through. And what I mean by charting is just like literally putting what you observe for cervical fluid and temperature. I do use an app, but it's not a predictive app. It's as if I was doing it on paper. Yeah. And you still predict it yourself. I mean, interpret it yourself, I mean. And I think a lot of people get like scared of like, they want the technology of something. They want to trust technology more than they want to trust their body. And so like, I have to interpret myself, like my app's not like confirming it for me. But that's really
a whole other conversation.
Yeah. And so that's my biggest thing with my course is like why I offer it is to raise that confidence level, because it's just what I wish I had. Because when I first learned how to chart, because I was just going off that PDF and that blog post, and I was nervous, like, you know, like I knew, like I was confident enough to be like, I'm going to use this for birth control. I trust the science, but like, I didn't know anybody else using it. Like I didn't know anybody to like ask my questions to. And that's my biggest thing for women. Like, because so many are okay with just being like, well, we're kind of just winging it. And like, if you're okay with that, cool. But if you're not, like, you really want to take a course and work with an instructor so that like you just know you can answer the question every day. Am I fertile today or not? With full confidence.
Yeah. And even if you are someone that wants to pull the goalie, going back to what I said at the beginning, yeah. Learning all of this information is really a wonderful practice in developing mm-hmm. a relationship with your body. Learning yeah. how your body, this is what pregnancy and birth taught me, is that my body wants to be my ally and my mm-hmm. body wants to work with me, but I am the problem that's mistrusting it and that's mistreating it. And once I feel like once we can switch our mindsets into my body is on my side, my body can be trusted. And once we can work in tandem, not just pregnancy, not just ovulation, not just this hormonal stuff, but really everything can mm-hmm. finally begin to settle into what it's meant to be doing and what our bodies were meant and designed to do.
There's so much overlap, yeah, between birth yeah. and yes. fertility awareness method.
So for someone who also just like wants more information on, I want mm-hmm. some positivity. Are you able to share any stories of people who had a lot of trouble conceiving or a lot of trouble with birth control that came to you, and you have some mm-hmm. beautiful success stories that you can share?
Yes. It's my favorite to hear back from my clients. Like, as much as like, I love that I created a video course, because then people can access it whenever they want at their own time. Their partner can watch it because it's like, he can get him on board. Yeah. But like, I love that I still offer a one-on-one because like, I just love talking to people is like my favorite part of it, and to hear their stories. And so that part is still my favorite, is meeting one-on-one with my clients included in the course. And I swear, every client is just like, I can't believe I didn't know this sooner. And I'm so thankful to know it now. Like, I will for sure be teaching my kids this. Like, it just impacts generations to come, you yeah. know? Just knowing that it's an option. So I'm trying to think of some like, yeah, birth. I mean, it's kind of crazily like the same story over and over again of like, somebody just having a really bad experience with their birth control and just being like, I'm done. And then finding this, and it's just like, yeah, this is what I was looking for, you know? That's really a story over and over again. Like, I sometimes have somebody who's like, I've never been on birth control, but like, I actually want to, you know, be more confident in using this for birth control, and instead of using condoms all the time. Ugh. So yeah, right. She's like, oh man, your partner is gonna be so happy you learned this. So, and then
in this.
Yeah, I just released my chart to conceive course this year, or right. I guess no, I guess last year or something. But so I'm still getting stories from that. But I get a lot of stories from people who took my birth control course like years ago. So I've had it for 5 years, who are like, and then I used it because it's like the same information. Like, oh, I used it to get pregnant now when I was ready. And so that's been really fun to hear. And so I don't know, like, if I've had too many people who've struggled too much. Like, if I do say, like, if you've been trying for more than a year, like, always, like, charting is a great tool to know and to provide to your healthcare providers. So it's like you will never regret learning it, but it's not like your guaranteed ticket to like get pregnant. So I don't know if I'm like the right person, like if you've been having lots of fertility issues and struggles, you know? So I feel like most of my clients haven't had super long struggle journeys of trying to get pregnant, but just that it eased their conception journey because they knew it from birth control, which is really cool. And so I have two courses, even though it's like the same knowledge and you just kind of like reverse it. The way I talk to you in the course is so different if you are trying not to get pregnant versus if you're trying to get pregnant.
FAM and talking about FAM is just clearly one part of a much larger conversation and a much larger movement, at least I'm seeing, around our society and for women on reclaiming their bodies, learning about their hormones, learning about how they can support their bodies during these different phases of their cycle when it comes to scheduling work and productivity. That they're eating, the vitamins that they're taking in different times, the types of exercise that they're doing, all to really work in tandem with that cycle and optimize their health and their experience of their day-to-day lives. So along with FAM, what are some other resources that you've loved and that you recommend that might just introduce people to becoming more intimate with their cycles and their hormones?
It's so crazy. Like when you go the holistic route, like it's like always going back to the basics of like nutrition and lifestyle and products that you're using. So those are like the three things I cover in my third module, where it's just like, let's clean up your diet, you know, like organic as much as feasible, and cooking as much as possible, and more just greens and veggies and nutrient dense foods. And experimenting with your body. I feel like, you know, some women benefit from cutting out dairy and gluten for their hormones, and some can totally tolerate it. So just like experimenting with what your body feels good with food wise and then lifestyle, you know, it's just like a broken record of like de-stress, like stress, you know, like take care of yourself, self-care. But I think what I think for your cycle is just not so much that we can control like how stressed we are for some seasons of our life, but when you are charting it and like keeping track, like I feel like I'm so much better equipped to honor where I'm at. Like it's like, okay, like stress and sickness can delay ovulation. And then just like knowing that information is just like so great. You're like, oh, like, okay, like, that makes sense that that's where I'm at. And then your period is actually delayed if you ovulate later. And so the day from when your period starts to ovulation, that's like can move. So ovulation can like come earlier or later, but the day from your ovulation to your period is pretty much set a certain amount of days for each individual woman. Right. And so if ovulation is later, that set amount of days still has to start and your period will be a little later. So it's just like knowing that stress can do that or sickness can do that. And like, I feel like that's really valuable. And also kind of, we were talking about like cycle syncing, saying no to more things right before my period. Like, I just feel like I get so much less of the like crying for, I don't know why I'm crying. Like if I just like say no to more right before my period and do less and rest more. And, so I love that part of incorporating cycle syncing with lifestyle, because then that helps with stress and stuff and work and then products, which is so fun that you're also a fellow Young Living lover. So that's how I first got into Young Living, was when I first learned FAM. It must have been like all happening at the same time, because I was just like, oh, I'm getting like, I'm reading these books. I'm like, oh, like for my hormone health, why am I using all these horrible products? And so it was like that bridge for me. Young Living was that bridge for me to like replace a lot of products in my home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just went on a trip to Ecuador and I was rooming with my friend, who's also obviously a brand partner, is a trip to the farm, and she is an environmental toxins lawyer. Badass.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. And she's doing this whole series this month on fragrance and how all of these companies still use ileol or lilial or something, which is a known reproductive toxin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling them out. And that's, it's just awesome. More and more that I'm realizing that we really are swimming in toxins.
Yeah.
In the places that we would never think about. Mm-hmm. Our body washes, our shampoos, detergent. I mean, this is obvious to you and me, but like it really feels like every corner we turn, there's something that could be messing with us. So
yeah.
I can't even imagine the impact on our endocrine system when we start to clean these things up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it doesn't take much cleaning up to do. Like, it's not necessarily that you have to do a complete overhaul of your entire home. But once you start replacing some of these things, some of these fragrance things, some of these toxic cleaning products, those small changes are going to help start to recalibrate your body and get it into the state that it needs to be to work in the alignment that it wants to be in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all connected. It's just like just get started, you know, like just slowly replacing things and how it'll affect our hormones and our body and our fertility for sure.
I have 5 fun questions for you. I ask 5 fun questions to all of my guests. Some of them are directly related to you. Some of them are the result of me stalking you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. My first question is, are you having any cravings with this pregnancy?
Not really.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Kind of boring answer. Yeah.
No,
in the first trimester when I was feeling a little sick, like I feel like I had a bit more just like lemonade. I wanted lemonade and ice cold water. That was just like more like nausea stuff.
Ugh. Did you have conversions?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't eat eggs or meat barely.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, that first trimester.
Well, how has this pregnancy been different from your first one?
So similar. Yeah, no one says that.
But I like that. I love what to expect.
Yeah, so, just a little sick in the first trimester, and then I feel amazing for the second and third.
What is your opinion on taking your basal body temperature and determining the sex of your baby?
Ooh, so I can explain the science of that. It doesn't really have to do with the basal body temperature.
Okay.
So it has to do with the lifespan of the sperm, really, and more to do with cervical fluid. And so the theory is that there's like X and Y sperm, actually. So there's like, if you get a girl or a boy, and the boy sperm swim faster but die quicker, and the girl sperm swims slower but lives longer. Mm-hmm. So if you have sex on the day of ovulation, that's how I got pregnant with my boy. So like, it gets to the egg first, basically. Yeah. That's the theory. And so with my second, I was like, well, like, let's try, like, I didn't want to go too far away from ovulation. Like, I was like, what's the perfect, like, 3 days, 2 days? Cause I didn't want to like have to be trying that much. So we tried 2 days before ovulation and still got another boy. So, you know, like, I do believe it. I just don't know what that perfect, like, how many days before ovulation for your body will the girl or the boy sperm get to the egg first?
Okay. Okay. Well, that's funny that, cause I had a friend in college whose mom was like, I can tell you based on your temperature, what baby you want. Just tell me.
And
she had all of her babies.
Yeah.
In the way that she wanted to. And so that's funny that it's funny that there's actually science or theories behind
this. Yes.
Yeah. What's the most expensive food item you've bought in California?
I think I I think we just bought, I was in San Francisco visiting. I think we just bought a $12 smoothie. That felt like.
That's a lot.
I mean, that might be average now. I don't know. Is that expensive? I remember saying to my husband, because we bought like three. We bought one for me, one for my husband, and one for my son. I was like, whoa, that was a lot.
Well, my friend just moved to California and took a picture of a smoothie that was $28 and had colostrum in it. So that's why I asked.
Well, then that I got beat. Yeah, that's that wins.
What is your favorite Young Living product?
Oh, I'm like looking around my house right now. I'm like, okay, let's see. For anybody watching the video, like I'm just like looking what's laying around next to me that I'm always using. Next to my bed, like I actually really love the, I'm using the CBD Calm that they have. I really love it.
I used it.
Oh, I
it's
love it.
Like the, it's like a balm.
Roll on. Yeah. And the balm is like more the muscle rub, but then they have this Calm one that's like a roller with essential oils in it. I just put on my neck and shoulders before bed. And I mean, like, you could just use lavender, too, and, like, or you could use Tranquil, like, that blend. But I don't know. Like, there's something about the smell of this Calm blend.
I've heard lots of good things about it. Have you been putting vetiver on your toes?
I haven't. For sleep? I've been sleeping pretty good.
Oh, okay. So maybe you don't need it. What is your favorite one to throw in the diffuser?
Lavender with Northern Lights Black Spruce. Yeah, it's called that blend. I've heard is called like London Fog. That's what they're called.
I always have my Black Spruce near me. I'm a daytime Black Spruce girl. You know. I'm sure you know all about how it's the highest frequency oil.
Yes.
Because it's grown under the northern light.
I know.
How beautiful. This is actually my daytime oil. I know so many people use it for sleep because it's so great.
I use it during the day. Yeah. I just love the smell of it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I recommend blending it with winter nights.
Ooh, I don't have winter nights.
You have to do those together.
Because I just love northern lights. I just assumed winter nights smell similar. So I was like,
it does smell similar because it does have black spruce in there.
Okay.
But it also has like peppermint and orange and cedar wood. And just get that one and tell me about it. Okay. And then my last question for you is, what are your favorite self-care rituals? Do you have any?
I'm really into
girl,
I'm kind of, some friends call me high maintenance. Like I just require a lot of, like my perfect day is like going to a spa. I'm also like, I consider myself like a highly sensitive person. So I just feel like I need a lot of like recharging time. And so my favorite thing, I mean, like I love a bath. Like I love a bath or a hot tub. We do have a hot tub.
Oh, that's great.
And I stretch every night before bed. Like I don't do like full on yoga. I just like stretch, just whatever feels like needs to be stretched. And that really helps just like right before I get into bed.
That's so my bath routine. I've gotten my bath routine down to a science. It's become so important to me since I got the all clear to take baths again after my birth, which was so long ago. And I've been doing the baths ever since. So I'm going to share, even though you haven't asked. Around 7 p.m., I try to put my phone down and then the low lights. Okay. No overhead lighting.
Yeah.
In the bathroom, I have these like light LED light bars that go under the sink, under the, you know, counter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that spa. It's like that hotel bathroom lighting.
Yeah.
So it's low lighting. Mm-hmm. And then I make my Ningxia Sleepy Girl mocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go into my bath with my Kindle and the low lighting. I'll throw some oils in there. Lately, it's been just like all feelings oils, like child, forgiveness, surrender. That's just what I've been needing lately. Yeah. And I sit in the bath until I'm actively sweating. And then I get out and I go and take a cold shower. also in low light.
Before bed, like you'll take the cold shower. Ugh, you're hardcore. I'll do it if I'm like detoxing or if I'm like doing like a thing for a month or two. But yeah. Then like, I'm like, ugh. I love the cold plunge at a spa though. Like I love it. But when I'm home, I'm a bit of a baby.
Well, listen, I'm not sure if my shower just isn't getting as cold as other people's showers, but you're in California. What's the temperature there right now?
We have our first rain of the season, so it's like 55 right now, but last week was 70. So
okay, so I mean, yeah, I get they're definitely cold showers, but I did try to take a cold shower when I was visiting my in-laws in Chicago in the winter, and that was like a different cold shower.
Where are you again?
I'm in South Florida.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So it's gotten to the point where that's why you have to sweat in the bathtub so that you can save the cold shower.
Do you know what I do, which is very Californian? I jump in the ocean often. Like if I'm on a jog at the beach, like I'll jump in. Like I jumped in like any month. Like it doesn't matter if it's December or whatever. Because like, once you get sweating enough, then you can jump in.
Oh, no.
Skinny dip in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl. Skinny.
Yeah, you've got enough. We got some beaches here. It's just like no one's around.
Yeah, that's actually, I just moved north a little bit and I'm still by the beach. I used to be, the beach is very important to me. Mm-hmm. Still by the beach, but I was living in sort of a resort town and now I'm in really a sleepy beach town and nobody is on the beach when I go to watch the sunrise. So that's incredible. And my dad always said, my dad's an accountant, but he's also like a surfer and a diver and a fisher and a hunter. And he does all that cool nature stuff. So he's always very much like you feel sick, you got to take a jump in the ocean.
That's awesome.
So cute. So cute. Yeah. So
and our water might be a little colder than what you got over there.
You're right.
So it is a cold dip here.
That is. Okay. That's fair. I wasn't catching that. You are cold dipping over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So
even in the summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for spending time with me. Can you tell me where people can find you and stalk you?
Yeah, just my website and Instagram. I haven't gotten on TikTok yet, so.
Don't. They're mean over there.
Thank you so much. It was so fun.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.